Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Sorry to get so personal. All right, welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. That's what we call this show, Today's Issues, here on the American Family Radio Network. And I'm Tim Wildman, and we appreciate you joining us for the show today. We'll be here for an hour and 25 minutes. Hour and 25 minutes here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
And Walker, we've had a great response over the last few months to our Facebook Live video feed of the show, right?
That's correct. And we're live streaming again today.
You think it's the high fashion that we offer?
That has to be what it is. I think it's your hat, especially.
The hat, my hat.
Tuning in for the hat style.
The hat style. Yeah,
that puts us over the finish line.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that's just an added plus. You got the intellectual dynamite added to the, the fashion.
The sartorial splendor.
That right there is Ray Pritchard, who's our Dallas correspondent.
That's right. You don't want to ask what I'm wearing because I'm off camera at the moment. I'm rather casually dressed. But Tim, you're dapper. You are right. Dapper.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Well, I'll try.
I've got one to challenge you, though. Maybe on Monday. I'll wear my Nashville Predator cap.
Yeah. Will you bring it?
I'll bring it.
Monday?
National Predator.
Nashville.
Nashville Predator. Nashville Predator.
And that's the professional hockey team.
That's right.
That won the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. You impressed already that I know that?
I am. Tim, this is a big jump for you.
Well, as I say, intellectual dynamite is not just politics and news. It would go over to include sports.
Yeah, but you've come a long way.
Yeah,
baby. Mr. Football, Mr. Baseball is now you're crossing the line.
Well,
I'm bringing you over.
Ed Battagliano's office is two down from me. And when I come in the morning.
I know.
Okay, I come in the morning about 7:50. Excuse me, 7:50. We start work at 8 o'clock. And I hear loud hockey highlights coming from Ed's office down there.
Uh-huh.
And he's got it jacked way up. He's watching the highlights from the night before his hockey games across North America.
Boston Bruins.
And I don't know if he's hard of hearing or he just enjoys. But hockey announcing is very loud anyway.
It is. Got to get above the crowd.
All right. Are you doing okay, Ray?
Hey, it's all good here in Dallas. All good.
All right. As Dallas, last time I was out in Dallas, they had almost moved into Oklahoma. With that northward expansion.
The city is booming in all directions. You know, people from certain parts of the nation are fleeing to Texas as fast as they can. And so now Dallas is almost up. It literally, truly is almost up to the Oklahoma border.
Well, you
crazy.
Got McKinney and.
Right. Frisco.
Frisco and Plano. And
right.
And then you got the Red
River. And
then
north of there up to Denison and Sherman. Yeah. I mean, it's almost.
And then you hit the Red River.
That's right.
And then you're a Sooner.
That's exactly right.
All right. Let's talk about what's going on. Walker, what are you going to be doing on our Facebook page today?
We're live streaming on Facebook. You can watch the show. Every once in a while, you can see Dr. Ray Pritchard when he comes in the studio every few months. But you can see the rest of us here in our studios in Northeast Mississippi. And you can also read the news stories from onenewsnow.com that we post on our Today's Issues page.
Okay, Fred, take it away.
Well, I think the big story yesterday was the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and his appearance before the House Judiciary Committee.
Yes.
And what this is all about is the growing suspicion that the Mueller investigation into alleged Russian collusion in the 2016 election has gone too far. Now he's going way off the reservation, as they say, going into other things. Rosenstein refused to deny that that's happening yesterday. He was questioned over and over again. But also, and more importantly, I think, are the discovery by the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz of these emails back and forth between former, an FBI agent, Peter Strzok, and a friend. I think, Walker, you identified her as a more than a friend.
Yeah, that was his mistress.
Lisa Page. Yeah. Both of them work for the FBI. Strzok, and the emails seem to indicate that there was a plan within the FBI basically to discredit. They hated Donald Trump. That's very clear from the emails. We've already talked about that. But also, what seems to be even more troubling is the indication that they actually met with the Deputy Attorney General, Andrew McCabe, in his office to discuss how they might discredit President Donald Trump.
Now, after the election?
Before. They were getting worried that he would be elected. Trump would be elected over Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about a plan. So I want to play a little bit yesterday from Congressman Jim Jordan questioning Rod Rosenstein. And this is kind of a montage put together. Our producer for Sandy Rios in the Morning put this together this morning. I want you to listen to the line of questioning here. And this was a highlight yesterday from that hearing.
Did you pay the guy who wrote it? And did you use what he wrote, disproven, discredited dossier paid for by the Clinton campaign? Did you use it to go get warrants to spy on Americans? That's what it comes down to. This is a text message from Mr. Strzok to Ms. Page. And Mr. Strzok says this: I want to believe the path you threw out for consideration in Andy's office, that there's no way he gets elected, no way Trump gets elected. He says, I want to believe that. But then he goes, but I'm afraid we can't take that risk. Now, this goes to intent. He says, we can't take the risk that, you know, the people of this great country might elect Donald Trump president. We can't take this risk. We have to do something about it. He's the guy who changes the exoneration letter from gross negligence, criminal standard, to extreme carelessness. There's another text message. My colleague referenced it earlier, where Mr. Strzok says, I can protect our country at many levels. Says it with all the humility he could muster. This guy thought he was Super Agent James Bond at the FBI. You're the guy in charge. You could disband the Mueller special prosecutor, and you can do what we've all called for. Appoint a second special counsel to look into this.
Wow. This Strzok, is that his name?
Peter.
When was he fired, Walker?
And I believe July.
He's gone from the FBI?
Yes. Well, no. He was moved.
To human resources.
To the HR department.
So he wasn't fired?
No.
Just reassigned somewhere.
Are you telling me the guy that Jim Jordan was just quoting, who was out on a mission to save the world from Donald Trump, still at the FBI?
Yes.
Yes, he was just booted from the special counsel. But still.
Well, I guess it is punishment to be sent to HR. Huh?
Probably of a kind, yes.
I'd rather be fired, honestly, than be sent to HR. So maybe that was the thinking there.
But let's connect some dots here. The Andy that Congressman Jordan mentioned or mm-hmm. was quoting that email is Andrew McCabe, the Deputy Attorney General of the
Still?
United States. Yes.
Wow.
Well,
the meeting in his office to come up with a plan, I believe, to discredit President during the campaign, just in case he wins, we have to come up with a plan to discredit him. This is what we're talking
about. No wonder. It's becoming clearer every day what was going on here. We all wondered this deep state and this why things are going against President Trump so early in his administration.
Exactly.
Now we know that it appears several people inside the FBI, and that's what they're trying to get to the bottom at, had it out for Donald Trump. They weren't honest brokers in this deal. They were political hacks.
Well, and let's remind people also, Peter Strzok also was a key
figure.
Who went to HR. But before he went to HR, he was very much involved with James Comey, the former director of FBI, mm-hmm. in the Hillary Clinton email investigation. He's a Hillary Clinton fan. Mm-hmm. He believes in Hillary Clinton. He was in the room when Hillary Clinton was giving unsworn testimony on July 4th last year. And then Mueller appoints him to his team to investigate alleged collusion with the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
Are you writing? You wrote this timeline down, didn't you, Walker?
Yes. I wrote a lengthy article on this that was posted this morning. So it's up at afa.net. But what I highlight is a timeline of events. And this Peter Strzok was not a low-level guy at the FBI who went rogue. This guy was a key player at the FBI, often visited top FBI officials' offices. But here's the timeline to simplify this, because this gets very complex. The timeline is, in August of 2016, FBI sent agents to Europe, to Rome, to retrieve the opposition research done by Fusion GPS, which is called the dossier. That the FBI sent agents to retrieve opposition research paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign. FBI also footed some of the bill on that. Also in August, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and Andrew McCabe met in Andrew McCabe's office to discuss the, quote, insurance policy if President Trump were to be elected. Get this. Also in August, late August, FBI opens an investigation into the Russia probe, which also implicates candidate Trump. And then in September, FBI takes an application over to the FISA court and receives permission to spy on President Trump and his associates.
What's a FISA court? For those who don't know.
It's a secret foreign intelligence court where you can spy on foreign agents and also American citizens.
Get permission to do so.
You can get permission to do so. That's
kind of like getting a warrant from a judge in a regular situation.
Yeah. So all that happens within a two-month time frame, and Peter Strzok is believed to be the key player in all of that.
He's still there. What do you think about all this, Ray? Attorney General Jeff Sessions is over the Justice Department. The Justice Department is where the FBI is housed. So you got all these folks, Walker's talking about, in the same building with Jeff Sessions. And anyway, go ahead, Ray.
You know, it might help to think of the symbol of justice. It's the woman blindfolded. The whole idea of blind justice. Meaning that if justice is going to be served, it's got to be nonpartisan. It's got to be free and fearless and searching out the facts. And what we have here is the ripping off of the blindfold. We've got partisan hackery at the very highest levels of the FBI and of the Justice Department. So you can't blame anybody for being extremely skeptical of anything that comes out of the FBI. And, I mean, I didn't think, was it Rosenstein? I don't think he did himself any favors yesterday. Mm-hmm. His answers were equivocating at best. Justice is only served when people have confidence that the things are going to be dealt with honesty. And what we've got is hackery and dishonesty at the highest levels.
Mm-hmm. I believe it went higher than the FBI and the Justice Department. I think it went to the White House.
Wow. What White House?
The Barack Obama White House. I believe Barack Obama.
Now you're giving your opinion right here.
This is my opinion.
Based on the facts.
Based on what we have seen.
Right.
Yeah.
The timeline that Walker was just talking about, the testimony we've heard, what the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz has come up with. By the way, the reason we got these emails, text messages mm-hmm. back and forth, he began his investigation.
Who did?
Horowitz.
The Inspector General?
The Inspector General. And he got a hold. Cell phones, please, from Mr. Strzok and Lisa Page. Need your cell phones, your department-issued cell phones. And then he start going through their text messages. And he's finding out all 350 text messages. Now, we're just touching the surface.
Is that how he found out that they were having an affair?
Definitely how he found out their bias against Trump.
Yeah. No question. And about the meeting and Andy's office, as Mr. Mm-hmm. Strzok said.
Well,
I believe that President Barack Obama weaponized, and this was a term used yesterday. I want you to hear Phil Haney, who is a former Department of Homeland Security whistleblower. He was interviewed by Sandy Rios this morning. He was in the room yesterday during this hearing. I want you to listen to what he said about what the Obama administration did with the government.
I would title the entire hearings an investigation into the Obama administration's weaponization of the U.S. government. And what we're seeing, what we saw glimpses of, like flashes of lightning yesterday, especially with the questions from the Republican side of the House Judiciary Committee, were glimpses into the battlefield that was set up by the previous administration to take down anyone that opposed them. And, of course, now we're looking at what it appears to be more and more clear every day, that the structure of the U.S. government under the authority and leadership of President Obama was setting up the system in order to make sure that Hillary Clinton won the presidency, and that they were willing to do whatever they had to do in order to make that happen.
Well, and of course, keep in mind, folks, here, this is completely separate from the Mueller special counsel investigation into the collusion between President Trump and his team and the Russians to affect the election. Of course, we all know that happened, right? We know that Donald Trump got together with Vladimir Putin and they figured out how to rig the voting machines in Michigan and Michigan and Pennsylvania. They also hit Wisconsin that night. And but what we got, I'm being a little bit facetious, but this is totally separate. So you got these two big things going on here, and both the Mueller investigation and what we've discussed here already about the FBI just stink to high heaven. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's obvious for anybody who wants to be anywhere near objective to say this is bad, this is wrong, mm-hmm. this shouldn't be done, and somebody should be held accountable. And I'll tell you another thing is about this is President Trump is probably going to he's going to have to decide himself, I guess, along with Attorney General Sessions, where this is going to go. Now, Jim Jordan there, the congressman from Ohio, is doing a great job mm-hmm. of investigating inside the House of Representatives, I guess. But President Trump, he doesn't seem like to me he's the kind of person that's going to let this Mueller investigation, just continue, infinity. You're going to have to put some kind of limits on this thing, seems to me, Fred, mm-hmm. or it's going to go on all year. It's going to go on all year with fishing expedition, basically.
Well, there's somebody, one of the speakers that we had was calling for another special prosecutor in this case.
A special prosecutor to, or special counsel to investigate.
Special counsel,
right?
Yeah.
Investigator to investigate the investigator.
Jason Chaffetz was on Fox and Friends this morning. He says that's not needed. What needs to be done is to expand the investigation by the DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz. He needs to start investigating now. Well, you've got multiple lawyers who are on the Mueller team who all donated to the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton. So why is that? You've got Andrew McCabe now, who is mentioned in these text messages. They all met in his office. Andrew McCabe is still the Deputy Attorney General of the United States.
Does he meet with Jeff Sessions every morning then?
I don't know how often, but
he's a
key player.
He's supposed to, sure.
Yeah. He works for Jeff Sessions.
Yes, he does.
Right.
Exactly.
So, okay, I'm getting the picture here, Ray. You've got, if President Trump, people will say, why is he so mad at Jeff Sessions? That's his best ally in the administration. Well, yes, Jeff Sessions is on everything else but. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to this the situation with the FBI, Jeff Sessions is meeting with Donald Trump, I'm assuming, on a regular basis, and then meeting with a fellow, McCabe.
Right.
Could he be described as a direct Trump adversary?
Yes, because people forget this, but Mr. McCabe is still under investigation because his wife ran an election in Virginia where she received $700,000 from the Democratic governor, McAuliffe, in Virginia, while McCabe's office was investigating McAuliffe. So McCabe's office at the FBI is investigating the Virginia governor, the then Virginia governor. They're investigating the governor, but the governor gives money to the FBI's wife.
Then is it All right, I'm trying to put myself in Jeff Sessions' spot, yeah, Ray. Jeff Sessions comes to work every day. He's sitting in the office. He's doing his work. And basically, he doesn't even know whether to trust his secretary.
That's what it sounds like.
Right. Well, I mean, we heard a lot, and we hear a lot about draining the swamp. What do you do when the Justice Department, in large measure, is a part of the swamp? How do you drain that?
Well, my first suggestion would be to fire McCabe. By the way, McCabe will appear, I think it's the House Judiciary Committee, on Tuesday next week.
Yes.
Remember, he was supposed to appear this week, but his schedule didn't allow it.
He needed to figure out how to answer the meeting where they came up with insurance policy.
Yeah, but exactly. Walker, if Jeff Sessions were to fire all these people, he wouldn't have, who's he got left?
Well, it would be a very historic move where you see he would be
crucified.
Well, he would be crucified by the media, but from a practical standpoint, Jeff Sessions would be, if let's just say he fired all of the people that are viewed as corrupt in the Justice Department and FBI, he would go to work next week with probably three other people, and they would have to start over new with all the leadership at the FBI. I'm probably exaggerating there.
Well, he's got Trump, Christopher Wray is now the FBI director. I think he was very clever in his response. Was it earlier this week when he appeared for a committee, saying he praised the grassroots members of the FBI. Mm-hmm. He says they're solid people, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to get him to respond to what has happened to the FBI prior to him becoming the head of the FBI, and he wasn't biting on that. So I think what you have to do is, and probably you wait till after Christmas, after tax reform has been passed, hopefully, and then you go to work on cleaning up the FBI and the Justice Department.
Well, what about the Mueller investigation with all the lawyers now who working at Ray? What about that one?
Where do you even start with that?
I know, but I think I'm going along with that political expert Ed Battagliano on this one. I would set a date. I would say if I'm Donald Trump, I'd come out today and I'd say, look, given Robert Mueller until March 31 or February 31, 20, February doesn't have 31, February 20, whatever.
Yeah.
You just need to set a time limit on this thing, a reasonable time limit, and say if you don't have criminal charges to bring to a grand jury, potential criminal charges to bring to a grand jury, we're shutting your office down. Mm-hmm. I am, and I'll take the political fallout for it, but I'm not letting this thing drag out all year long, and you're going to go looking at bank accounts from my son-in-law's stepson's cousin's milkman. You know what I'm saying? All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Yes, I know there are no such things as milkman anymore. Again, something that a millennial like Walker would not even know.
Milkman delivers the milk each week to your house, front doorsteps.
Well, it used to be daily.
In the glass bottles.
How do you know about this? You read about this?
Because you watch old movies, right?
Yeah. Yeah, saw a movie about it one time.
Yeah.
You know, I barely remember. I'm 54, and milkmen were going out at the very when I was about 10, Ray.
Right. When I was in elementary school, we would still get milk that way, but that's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
Long gone.
Yeah. I vaguely remember a few times that the movie. You remember that, Chris?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. We will be back in 3 minutes with more of Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page, if you would. And Walker's posting the stories that we're talking about there. And we shall return with more of Today's Issues. Jan Markell from Olive Tree Ministries will be with us. We'll talk to Jan about what's happened since President Trump announced that the U.S. Embassy would be moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in Israel. We'll talk about that. And Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us in a little while as well. Much more to talk about and discuss. You stay with us here on AFR.
Hey, Hey, family, this is Lauren from Living Life with Lauren, and I want you to know just how much I appreciate you, and I count it an honor and a privilege to bring you interviews weekly with godly speakers, teachers, and authors that point us all to a closer walk with Jesus. Thank you for listening, telling your friends, downloading our podcast, and, of course, connecting with me on Facebook, Living Life with Lauren, and Lauren Kitchen Stewart. I would love to hear from you. We're heard every Saturday evening at 8 Central Time on American Family Radio. Join us.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our spiritual heritage tours fill up each year several months in advance, and we've got the dates now for our 2018 trips. There are two tours. There's one to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, and then there's a separate trip to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, where we'll explore early American history. Now, if you want information on these tours, simply go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. Again, in June and September, you can go on one or you can go on both. They're back-to-back. We plan them that way. Again, June and September, Washington, D.C., and Williamsburg. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com, and I hope to see you on one of our spiritual heritage tours.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The Hallmark Channel is a throwback to an age when Hollywood produced love stories that did not involve leather and whips. It's a place where you can go and feel good. Stories that tug at your heartstrings, family-friendly, and viewership has skyrocketed. One of the most watched cable television networks in the nation. But it turns out not everyone is a fan of Hallmark. Slate.com published a scathing review of the network, complaining about its around-the-clock Christmas movies, brimming with white heterosexuals. They complained about the lack of gay people and feminists and Muslims. Well, I say better that than the run-of-the-mill pornographic debauchery that normally spews out of Hollywood. Fortunately for the folks over at Slate, there's a perfect solution to their television viewing dilemma. Just change the channel. As for me and my house, we're going to put an extra log on the fire, pour a cup of hot cocoa, and enjoy a very Hallmark Christmas. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Merry Christmas from Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. And we're going to be joined momentarily by Jan Markell. Ray, we were just talking, Fred and I were off the air. What President Trump has had to deal with, I don't think any other president has had to deal with from the get-go. When you talk about all these things, that these deep state issues, these leaks, the Republican establishment basically opposed to him, Democrats opposed to him, the whole world is, I mean, good. Not the news media just, I mean, from every direction, he's had incoming.
You know, the stuff about the news media isn't surprising, or the GOP right. establishment isn't surprising, but it is alarming. And maybe that's not strong enough, Fred. When you think about that, there were people inside the FBI who, under the guise of their official duties in one way or another, were conspiring against the incoming president of the United States. That's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And that next week, when Andrew McCabe, the deputy attorney general, appears at that hearing, he needs to be asked about this meeting in his office. I advocate calling Peter Strzok in.
Yeah.
Under oath.
Under oath.
Yes.
Now you're going to explain. Explain this text message about this meeting and Andrew, and that's it. When that comes out, we were plotting. We were putting a plan together as to what's going to happen if Trump becomes president. Immediately, those two should be fired. This nonsense about demoting Peter Strzok down to the human resources, he should be out the door.
It's looking like he might have committed a crime.
Well, that's
surely there has to be some kind of crime that you can't use your position in the Justice Department to go after political candidates.
Well, you notice in that montage we just played of Congressman Jim Jordan, he used the word intent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That was deliberate.
Yeah. You know, the FBI is made up of people they're human beings. They have political feelings like we all do. Right. So there's nothing wrong with somebody having feelings that are pro-Democrat or pro-Republican or pro-conservative or pro-liberal. You can't escape that. They're not robots. But they know, and I've talked to past agents for the FBI, you're a professional.
Mm-hmm.
And you do your job, and you don't get involved in trying to have any kind of an agenda.
Right.
A pro or con against Republicans or Democrats. You just do your job as a professional. And it appears here at the top levels, if this is where we're headed with Jim Jordan, the congressman's questions and what we've heard and what you guys say coming up next week, and we know this from this inspector general's email release.
Right.
We've got people at the very top who had it in for President Trump, and they weren't shy about sharing their thoughts with each other. And so it's going to be very interesting to see where this goes in the coming weeks. Ahead, but this is now, becoming clearer why President Trump, has had difficulty, at first of his administration, because, you're trying to hire people to fill positions at jobs, and you're trying to leave people who are working in the executive branch for different agencies, and everybody's trying to figure out who do you trust. And just because you change a head at an organization, i.e. Jeff Sessions, doesn't mean all those career people below him are changed overnight. He has to get in there, for example, and decide, who do I want in what position, who works for them, who are their assistants, that alone, can you imagine? That alone takes, weeks, takes months.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, we'll see what happens there. All right, we want to welcome to our program Jan Markell. Jan is on with us Thursdays, and she's with Olive Tree Ministries and has a weekend program that's very popular with our listeners called Understanding of the Times. Jan, good morning to you, Jan.
Well, thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
You want to say anything about what we're talking about?
Not really. I've enjoyed the banter you've had there. I think it's excellent. You've done a great job.
And you can't improve on it? Okay.
All right. I've said before on this program, and therefore I hate to be a little bit repetitious, that I think we're a Romans 1 culture.
Right.
Therefore, people are acting with depraved minds, not only depraved minds, but the character of mankind has so declined, I think, in the last 10 years that it's shocking, which is a fulfillment of 2 Timothy 3. In the last days, men will be in the whole list of things, lovers of self, lovers of money, covetous, boastful, proud, arrogant. And I just think we're seeing that on overdrive everywhere, really both sides of the aisle politically.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think this is the Bible fulfilling itself once again, no surprise.
Jan, what about the what's happened? I think last week we did ask you because it was right after President Trump had announced that the U.S. would be moving its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. With the fallout from that, the threats of days of rage and all these other things. I know that some of that's still going on. How do you evaluate the fallout?
My concern is it's going to get a lot worse. I have talked to some people in Israel, believers in Israel, and Israel, kind of outwardly they're really pleased this happened, but to be honest, many of them are very concerned about the fallout that's going to come mainly from the Islamic world and mainly from the Muslims of the Middle East. But here again, I just saw a headline this morning that ISIS plans on retaliating really around the world for this move. This hasn't moved yet, but this action that began a week ago, ISIS plans retaliation. And believers and just traditional Jews in Israel are asking, is this worth it? And I would agree with them.
Oh, okay. Now, I want to talk about that for just a minute. I don't want people to misunderstand the situation here, because nobody's more pro-Israel than Jan Markell.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Right, and your credentials are well-established in your ministry for being pro-Israel.
Right.
However, and we talked, you and I talked about this a month or so ago when this was brought up, whether or not the you know, the embassy would be moved. It's not whether the Israelis have the right to do this, because they do, because their center of government, right, their center of government is, has been in Jerusalem.
That's exactly right.
It's just a matter of, do you want to poke poke people in the eye, so to speak. You want to get that stick down there and stir up the ant bed in the name of what exactly? You know what I'm saying? You have to evaluate.
Exactly.
And that you're saying some of your friends on the ground there in Israel say, you know, just leave the embassy in Tel Aviv. But he didn't. It's already over with. It's done with. Now, they haven't physically moved the embassy yet.
They haven't physically moved. That is, again, on delay. And that still could be on permanent delay. Though with Donald Trump, I don't think so. His relationship with Netanyahu and his obvious love for Israel, whether he understands it biblically or not, I don't think any of us know. But I kind of think he's going to try to go through. Right now, that embassy is still right there in Tel Aviv. So they've got weeks to months yet to move it, and I just think we should watch it.
Yeah.
My hunch is it won't get moved, but boy, I could be very, very wrong, because Donald Trump is, I've never seen in my lifetime, never seen a president quite like him. He likes to keep his word, and that's what is so unusual, and that's why the American population voted as they did, at least on the right. Yeah. Because they didn't want a politician.
Right. I can just see President Trump and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the phone. Okay, and I'm just imagining you're inside Benjamin Netanyahu's office.
Yeah.
And you're sitting across from him. You're his assistant. And President Trump says to the Prime Minister, you know, we're going to move the embassy to Jerusalem. And Benjamin Netanyahu says, "Oh, okay, all right. Next year, year after, no, next Tuesday, we're going to announce we're going to do this." I can just see the Prime Minister's eyes pop when he looks at his assistant and then lays the phone down and goes, "You're not going to believe what President Trump just told me."
Yeah.
I mean, that kind of scenario. I know the Prime Minister of Israel wasn't caught off guard necessarily by this. But what about that? But one question I have for you: what about that scenario there? Because Benjamin Netanyahu had to say, I mean, he had to say, "Good, I'm glad, let's go for it." But he also knew that it was going to inflame some of the Israeli haters who were going to try to, you know, cause problems. And you didn't know where that was going to go. We still don't know exactly where that's going to go. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to be a kind of a mouse in the corner of Netanyahu's office, or particularly when he and Donald Trump are having a phone conversation. I don't know where this is going. I know they've got some time now, but I think what we should watch, Tim, is how much more literal fallout is there going to be? For instance, will ISIS follow through and start having attacks in the West and say, we're doing this because of this embassy situation? I think, and particularly if they're particularly deadly attacks in Europe or America, wherever, then I think things will be thought through a second time, and it may end up being that the embassy stays in Tel Aviv. And I don't think anybody, I think there'll be some Christian Zionists, and I'm one of them, who will be troubled by the fact that we can't put the embassy where it rightfully belongs. At the same time, we don't want more bloodshed. We don't want more knife attacks. We don't want more cars ramming into people, et cetera. And I think that needs to be the bigger issue.
Yeah. Jan Markell with us. Go ahead, Ray.
Jan, so are we talking about, in terms of the increased danger, are we talking about further rocket attacks, ISIS attacks? Could there be a new intifada, a new general uprising? Could you actually see an armed, all-out attack on Israel? What are the range of possibilities we're talking about here?
I think that it spans everything from minor, stone throwing and things like that, to another intifada, which is just another, it's an Arab uprising within Israel. It's the so-called Palestinians having their, temper tantrums that are quite serious, honestly, and people get hurt, to the greater Islamic world perpetrating horrific attacks. And again, I think all we can do is take a wait-and-see attitude and see what happens. But if the worst case happens, then things have to be thought through.
Fred?
Yeah.
Last question for Dan.
Yeah, I heard another perspective on this today, that the prediction of a major, the Middle East blowing up is not going to come to pass. And the reason that perspective was put out there is this. Much of the Arab world right now is more concerned about Iran than it is about the Palestinians. The Shias of Iran, in fact...
The Mullahs, you mean? The Shia by...
The Shias in Iran.
Shia Muslims.
Yes, in Iran. Are more threatening to the Sunnis than anything else right now. So I thought that was an interesting perspective.
It is, Fred. It is. And one thing that illustrates this better than anything else, I think, is Israel's new ally. Her new ally is Saudi Arabia. They're Sunnis. And they're terrified of Iran, terrified. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia, to my knowledge, does not have nuclear weapons. They could be obliterated by Iran. So that it's a very key thing you just mentioned.
The other thing, too, is this week is that Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian leader, said because of what President Trump announced, we don't think he should be part of any negotiating team for the two-state solution. And, Jan, I'm not sure if you would agree with me on this. I would say to Mahmoud Abbas, that's fine. We're going to stop sending checks to you, the $500 million we send every year. You don't want us at the table, you don't get any money.
Listen, American taxpayers need to be completely fed up and even revolt. But we're financing these Palestinian terrorists with our tax dollars. So that's really a good point, Fred, yes.
Yeah. Hey, Jan, your show this weekend, what are you going to be talking about?
I'm actually playing a message from Understanding the Times 2017, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, on the raging apostasy coming out of our seminaries and going into our churches. And once again, let me just say, gentlemen, back on October 7th, we met so many wonderful AFR people at our conference up here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. So thank you for what you're doing. And they love you and they love us.
Thank you, Jan. Appreciate it. Talk to you next time.
Goodbye.
That's Jan Markell from Olive Tree Ministries, and her program airs on the weekends here on American Family Radio. It's called Understanding the Times. On Sundays, it airs at noon Central Time. Saturdays, not sure. 1 o'clock? I think 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock Central Time in the afternoon here on American Family Radio. You're listening to Today's Issues. I'm Tim with Walker, Fred, and Ray. We're joined now by Dr. Alex McFarland, who joins us also on Thursdays. Alex is host of co-host with Brother Bert Harper of Exploring the Word in the afternoons here on American Family Radio from 3:05 to 4 o'clock Central Time. Alex, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you, too, Alex. Fred has a story we're going to talk about now. Alex, we didn't forewarn you. So, but still, we're going to talk about this for just a moment. It has to do with Beth Moore, the well-known women's Bible teacher, and she has been a prolific author for, I don't know, 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Sold books by the millions. As I say, well-respected in most circles, evangelical circles, Bible teacher. But she had some comments, some I thought were Well, let's just give us the context of the comments, Fred.
Well, Beth Moore decided by way, Christian Post has been reporting this, in the last week she decided to jump into the Alabama special election, Senate election.
She's from Texas.
She's from Texas. Yeah. To put it briefly, she's no fan of Roy Moore, and she put that out there even before Election Day. But on election night, when it became clear that Roy Moore was going to lose that special election, she tweeted out, and again, I'm quoting from a story on Christian Post, all right? Author and evangelist Beth Moore tweeted around the time of news of Moore's defeat that girls can find the inspiration to stand up for themselves. Quote now, little girls, there's hope on the horizon tonight for a land where you can grow up to be big girls, strong girls, seen girls, heard girls who know how to stand up tall, throw your shoulders back, lift your chins high, and loudly say. Now, in subsequent posts, she clarified that she was not rejoicing over either win or loss, but then she went on to say this, to me, this is not about candidates. It's about the character of believers faced with terribly hard choices. What I am encouraged by is that there were many people unwilling to dredge their win out of the sludge. So what she appears to be saying is she is in praise of evangelicals, believers, who did not fight for Roy Moore. And she,
or vote for him.
Or vote for Roy Moore. And also she seemed to be saying that she believes the allegations against Roy Moore about...
Oh, she is saying that.
Yeah. And she's saying little girls should feel safer tonight. And should feel safe about speaking up, et cetera, et cetera.
Is Beth Moore known for talking about politics?
No.
Now, would she say that's about politics? No. Well, what she's here's the problem I have with what she said here. In a a week from now, and what she's saying, who disagrees with a safer place for little girls? But what I find, unless there's more to it than what you just described, and I'd like Alex to talk about this. And I'm extremely hesitant to criticize a fellow Christian leader for having different views than me on whatever, a variety of different things. There's a lot of that that goes on. Sometimes it's tawdry, and we need to allow for each other to. I understand all that, and I agree with that. But this kind of, that's to me, that's what she did there. She's Beth Moore is in essence saying that Roy Moore is guilty. Of the things that were alleged against him, and having Roy Moore as a Senate makes little girls less safe. Alex, do you read that differently? Go ahead if you do.
Yeah, I've spent the last 2 days trying to make sense of these comments, and Beth Moore is a beloved Bible teacher, and God has used her and is using her in mighty ways. But you know, when she was talking about conservatives and evangelicals being racist and misogynistic.
When did she do that?
And turning a blind eye. I really don't know what she could possibly be talking about. Let me just say this, to empower the left in Washington and to enable yet another progressive liberal to go to Washington, that certainly doesn't make the lot of females in America any better. In fact, I would say it harms it.
Yeah. Ray, what do you think of this?
I'm looking at what she wrote. What Alex is mentioning is a tweet that's from Monday. I mean, and Fred, you're right. She's been tweeting about this, and she doesn't mention, at least in the tweets I'm looking at, Roy Moore by name, but you know what she's talking about. And then what Alex was saying, the lust for power, racism, the arrogance, the misogyny. So the end result of it is Roy Moore is defeated, for better or for worse. Now we've got Doug Jones in the Senate. It's hard to see how that's any kind of improvement.
Yeah, and, you know, again, not to rehash the whole story, but you have a situation where a man was accused. I took the two most serious charges against Ray Moore were with a woman from the Old Hickory House with Gloria Allred, and then the woman who said she was 14 years old. Those were the most serious when she went to, snuck out of her house and went to his house with him when he met her in his car on the corner in 1975 or whenever it was. She said that happened, and those were the two. And from there, we've gone to words like pedophile, being thrown around, child molester. This is the mainstream news media and the left. This is how wicked. And then you have 38 years removed from that, and nothing has come against Roy Moore. You have to go back to those times. And for, I guess, for me, for a fellow Christian like Beth Moore to agree with the charges against Roy Moore based on he said, Thursday. She said situation, not more corroboration or verification.
I wonder what Beth Moore would say
I just found that wrong.
What Beth Moore would say about the biblical standard of finding someone guilty, which means a minimum of 2 to 3 witnesses who mm-hmm. see a crime occur or an accusation occur. Does Beth Moore not, does she think that applies sometimes and sometimes it doesn't? Because according to her standard, Judge Moore is guilty with just one accuser and no corroboration. Yeah.
But the second part of this is that she is demeaning any evangelical who voted for Moore. I mean, I want to read this quote again. To me, this is not about candidates. Well, it is, because you just said it was.
And you're saying it during an election.
Yeah. It's about the character of believers faced with terribly hard choices. What I'm encouraged by is that there were many people unwilling to dredge their win out of the sludge. It's a start. So she is not only, she's found Roy Moore guilty, she's also demeaning.
Talking about Beth Moore here.
Yeah. She is demeaning any evangelical
who voted for him,
who reasoned and said, well, the charges haven't been proven.
Right. And I'm going to vote for him.
And I'm going to vote for him.
Over a candidate who believes in abortion through 9 months, which was Doug Jones, the Democratic guy, who won because a lot of people didn't vote for Roy Moore. Anyway, who thought like, I guess, Beth Moore. Does there? I find it inappropriate, to say the least, for her to comment the night of the election. That was tweeted the night of the election.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
The night of the election, you tweet that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I didn't. Well, the other tweet you referred to
was before.
Was before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Last was on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Well, on Monday she said what? Ray, you had that.
Alex
has it.
Yeah, she had said that Christian conservatives, their support for the current administration reflects our misogyny.
Right.
Let me just say this. When the left has championed people like Hugh Hefner, who, with his pornography empire, has unspeakably harmed women, and helping to make sure that Roy Moore didn't get elected in no way helps the lot of women. And like everything you said, you know, these were accusations. They weren't proven. He wasn't convicted of anything. And I realize they're serious accusations, and in no way do I minimize that. But, you know, it reminds me of the old saying, only Christians shoot their wounded, you know? And,
I just hope that
Anyway,
this that's very disheartening, I would say.
Yes.
To hear something like that. From Beth Moore. And let me just say this, too, because this is a red herring, in my opinion. You're waiting for President Trump or somebody close to him to say or do something that's wrong, that we all would condemn, okay? And then you want to say, see there, you Christians, you support him. Therefore, you're hypocrites. That's wrong to say it like that and to put it in that. It's more nuanced than that. Most people think more sophisticated than that. It's not as easy as that, and to frame it in that way is unfair to your fellow Christians, I believe. What are we supposed to do? Tell me what we're supposed to do. Oh, you know what I'm saying? We can't help everything that President Trump or others do or say. Don't always agree with it, but that doesn't mean we want him kicked out and replaced with Hillary.
Yeah. Huh?
Come on. That's not fair.
I want to ask fellow Christians, do you want to lose? Do we want to lose?
Right.
Of course not.
Right. And just because we can't defend everything somebody says who you vote for one time, that's an unfair position to put people in, and I think you know it. Thanks, Alex. Talk to you later. We shall be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.